Have you ever just said that cloud looks cool or pretty, but had no idea if it was a cumulus, a cirrus, or a nimbus stratus? Or told someone you're happy when really you're ecstatic, or maybe just less miserable? By the end of the episode, you'll realize that vocab or vocabulary isn't about sounding smart for the sake of it. It's about thinking clearly, expressing yourself powerfully, and navigating any situation with confidence. If language is the operating system of the mind, then vocabulary is the RAM upgrade you never knew you needed. Words create precision, and precision creates power. Let's start with something simple. Cloud example. Imagine you're trying to explain that type of cloud, if it's cumulus, a cirrus, or nimbus stratus. Without those specific words that directly tell the other person, if they are aware of those words, exactly what you're referring to. Otherwise, you have to try and explain, oh, it's curvy, it's fluffy, it looks like whipped cream, it's in this particular shape. Language describes, it creates a perception. It's really important that we understand that language can help us to relay information a lot faster. If you work in the building trade, for someone it's just bricks and cement. For other people, there's different types of bricks, different sizes of bricks, etc. And that means that you can have a much more in-depth conversation with someone than a layman would. You're watching MMA, for example. Someone knows the different types of choke or armbar. Someone else says, oh, he's doing really well on the ground, isn't he? Or he's really punching hard. Is it a hook? Is it a jab? The words help you to translate your ideas. People judge you by your intelligence, and your intelligence can be demonstrated through your words. You might actually be pretty smart, but if your vocabulary is basic, maybe you can't explain exactly what you're thinking. Authors are very good at this. They can describe what's going through their head so well, in fact, that you can read their book and be in the same place as they can. Think about your favourite book. A novel, of course. What type of way or what type of words are used to describe a specific situation? Maybe it's the turrets on the castle. Maybe it's the motion of the main character. Maybe it's the sound. Maybe it's the feeling of the atmosphere. Without those words, without that language, without that vocabulary, it would be impossible for you to feel or understand those specifics of the story that make it so important and so good. It's not just about that, though. There's other things. There's the and ers. In a book, you don't see the ums and the ers, unless, of course, the character is a nervous one, and you're writing about ums and ers to show that they aren't necessarily that well spoken. These words take away your confidence, and I don't mean your personal confidence. I mean the confidence that people have in you. Cut that filler out. That detracts from your vocabulary. Choose specific words. Say things like, I believe this is going to happen, not I kind of think this might happen. Again, takes away your confidence. Say, I recommend rather than, yeah, I guess maybe, that might happen. It's vague. You want confident, structured words. not filler words, and you want words that you can use to describe specific situations. You wouldn't want to say, oh, that's sort of darkish, reddish, blacky, purpley, or whatever. You would say that's scarlet. That's royal blue. That's cyan. In your head, I've translated to you exactly what colour that is. That's matte black. It's not just about colours, though, is it? It's about everything. The words you use can help to paint a picture. The difference between the almost right word and the right word is the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning, Mark Twain. Now, there is also additional description that falls into vocabulary as well. You might say you've got a BMW. Okay, cool. BMW is quite general. What type is it? What age? What colour? Maybe you've got a classic E30 M3 with a manual gearbox and a shark nose grille. That narrows down and paints a picture for someone to understand exactly what you're saying and exactly what you mean by the fact that you've got a BMW. Does that also show that you know about cars? What about if someone says that person's nice? What do you mean by nice? Do you mean caring, supportive, witty, assertive? Do you mean non-combative? Do you mean someone who gets on with others? Do you mean someone who doesn't get angry or aggressive? Do you mean someone who has their heart in the right place? Can you see there? There's another, I don't know what the number was there, but six or seven different ways to extrapolate the word nice. Specific vocabulary gives dimension, makes something from 2D to 3D. It shows that you're paying attention as well. And this is the other thing. If you understand something very specific, it shows that you, first of all, have paid attention, and secondly, you can articulate your thought process. It's not about trying to sound impressive. It's about helping others see what you see and feel what you feel. And the byproduct of that is that you come across as impressive. Most powerful speakers and leaders know this. They know the words to use and when to use it and with whom. If you're speaking with a 5-year-old, you don't talk about the innate artificial intelligence issues that could arise within the next decade. There's too many words that are not on the right wavelength as a 5-year-old, unless, of course, they're, super intelligent. You'd use simple words, emotive words. What about in a job interview? Would you use professional phrases? We all know those corporate phrases, don't we? Touch base, kind regards, etc., etc. There's many there. But we use those type of phrases, don't we? Or phrases in order to fit the audience. Maybe on a first date you use warm, playful language because you don't want to come across as too serious. It's light-hearted. You're getting to know each other. Maybe you're talking to a vulnerable friend. Maybe you use empathy over intellect. And maybe you use questioning to get them to speak. Sometimes it's not about using the best vocabulary ever, the most intense and complicated words, because speaking too intelligently can actually create distance. You need emotional intelligence to match your vocabulary to the audience. if you're down the pub and you know there's a normal guy there and you're talking about football, great, you might be using football lingo and being pretty chill. Earlier on that day, though, you might have been speaking to the CEO or closing a business deal. How different was your language and vocabulary then? We need the gift of fluency, the ability to switch gears, adjust your tone when needed, and still stay authentic. I know people who they speak, let's say, quote unquote, street or road, and that's fine because they also have another gear, professionalism. But then there's other people who, again, still speak in that way, but don't have a second gear. They don't have a third or a fourth or a fifth gear. And the problem is, although they may feel that they are quote unquote authentic, they will never get far. Vocabulary and language helps you to get on with people. If you use the same words and terminology as people, it also creates a bond. Now, the other important part is that the precision can create powerful relationships. And when we explain our feelings, so let's say you've said to someone, "Oh, just feeling a bit off today." That's such a standard phrase that people just brush it off and go, "Oh, don't worry, mate, you'll feel fine." But if you specified, and it's the specificity that's important, you could say, "I feel like I'm spread too thin." Like, "Wow, why? Well, what's up? You taking on too much?" Or you maybe feel unappreciated. Maybe you feel anxious about something that you don't even know what, but you're anxious about something. Maybe you feel like you're not in control of your time. Can you feel the difference? It's very specific. It's not foggy anymore. It's real. And the other person can understand exactly what you're feeling off about or down about. And maybe they can offer a solution or just listen. Language unlocks your inner world and makes your inner world external. Again, the author's the best example, isn't it? They've imagined this whole story in their head. Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. And yes, you know, you could say they're cliche, but they are probably the most famous in recent times. They've created this whole world and characters intertwined into a story, and everyone sees it in the same way. It's the same reason that people are upset that Snake is going to be black. It's nothing to do with the fact that it's a racist thing. It's to do with the fact that the imagery they had when they were reading it specifies that it was a pale white male with black hair. And it just goes against the authenticity of the book. Language internally is created externally. So how can we improve our vocabulary? The good news is it's learnable. Firstly, I would say get into social situations, different types of social situations. See how people speak when they're in boardrooms. See how they speak when they're at the pub. See how they speak when they're at home with the family and the kids. Read widely. Fictions, essays, poetry. Listen to world famous speakers. Be curious if you hear a word that you're unsure of. Look it up and try and use it as soon as possible. Try replacing default words. Instead of nice, try something different. Maybe compassionate, energetic, calm. Instead of bad, you might try disappointing, confusing, frustrating, whatever. Filler words again, as I said. Silence is stronger than vagueness. If I was to say, "I've just bought a new car, it's a brand new M3." Versus, I've just bought a new car. It's a new M3, which sounded better. Where was the emphasis? Silence is not a bad thing. The filler words are there because you are scared of the silence. Silence is required to hear. Silence is the inverse of sound. Even words, there's letters and silences all mingled into one that create that sound. You can't have a crest of a wave without the tip, essentially. Whichever way you want to look at it. You can't have a valley without a mountain peak. The more you practice, the more agile, articulate, persuasive you'll become. Because language is the dress of thought, according to Samuel Johnson. Better words mean better thoughts. Better thoughts lead to better actions. Better actions lead to better life. Remember, it's not just about sounding smart. It's about unlocking truth, thinking better, expressing your experiences, connecting with others, being respected. There's all of these things. So speak clearly, speak exactly, speak with presence, because when you can say it, you can own it. And when you can own it, you can be it.